We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
What's up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And this episode's brought to you by Untuckit. But, Jack, what's up?
Just not enough, Nick.
Yeah, not enough. That was the title of yesterday's episode. That's what it felt like today. 106-117. Nets suffer a loss to the Sixers on the second night of a back-to-back. But before we get into it, quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, and Blue Wire Pods. But, Jack, where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Nick. It seemed to me like both teams couldn't hit free throws. Both teams were struggling to find offense at times. But when it came down to it, the Sixers were able to execute late. The Nets weren't able to. The Sixers' defense stepped up. And, you know, the DeAndre Jordan injury had, I guess, a little bit of an effect. But overall, this was a game the Nets could have won. But a 16-point final quarter isn't going to do the job. That's for sure.
Yeah, the game was pretty much neck and neck the entire time. The Nets had a little bit of a lead for a while, but then by the time the fourth quarter hit, it was like whoever plays a better quarter here is going to win the game. And Sixers played substantially better, you know, 31-16 in that final frame. And Tobias Harris really stepped up, hitting a lot of tough shots. And I think the mismatches really exposed themselves late in this game.
They really did. And I think defensively, the Nets just didn't have enough to answer the size of Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think our talent necessarily stepped up enough either. You know, I thought Spencer was our best player tonight. You know, Kyrie Irving was probably one of our poorer performers. You know, minus 29 on the night, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, couple of turnovers, 6 of 21 from the field. And I don't think he was good. I expected him to step up in that final quarter. Didn't really do it. It just, you know, when your best player, it seemed to me that this was slightly of an inverse of what happened in the Jazz game, where it was Kyrie Irving leading the way and the other guys weren't able to support him, whereas it was Spencer Dinwiddie tonight and no one able to support him. You know, Joe Harris had probably his worst game of the season, to be fair. He just seems to perform always incredibly poorly against the Sixers. Their size and physicality, he just doesn't match up well against. And Tybal just ate his lunch on numerous occasions.
Yeah, that length really impacted them. And kind of before we dive into all the players, did you think Kenny should have went with a different closing lineup, maybe one that included Rodions or Wilson Chandler, just to add a little bit more size to counter what Philly was trying to do? Because they consistently just kept attacking the Nets inside.
I probably would have had Chandler out there instead of Harris. I thought Prince was good offensively and had some really nice stretches for us on the offensive end. His lapses defensively can be incredibly frustrating, but then again, he still had 3 steals, was 3 or 4 from 3. I would have had Wilson Chandler out there. You know, he was good on both ends of the floor for me. I put out there Wilson Chandler revenge game. He was probably our best player off the bench? Yeah, I'd probably say that. I think Rodion's obviously deserved more minutes, and he wasn't really able to make an impact with only 12 minutes, which to me, it still boggles belief a little bit. But that's just another discussion we can maybe have. But yeah, I thought Chandler should have been out there.
Yeah, Chandler, I think just his size and just his strength would have had an impact, because you could have threw him on Horford, and I think he would have matched up a little bit better than Prince, just having a little bit more size. And also, if you had a switch, you have another guy that you can feel comfortable defending Ben Simmons, who I felt like whenever Simmons got the mismatch, he just attacked it.
He did, and he is he's a good enough player to do that. You know, he still can be poor in some of his offensive, you know, skill set, but, you know, he impacted the game in a big way, 20 points, 11 assists for him. But, you know, our guys just, there weren't enough guys. Our starters were all right. You know, Torian Prince was good. I thought Jared Allen was fantastic. But Joe Harris was poor, Kyrie Irving was poor, and when two of your key starters are playing badly, and then off the bench, I would say Chandler was above average, Kuritz didn't have much of an effect because he wasn't allowed to, DJ got injured, LeVert was okay, and TLC was okay.
Yeah, I actually thought this was a bad game for TLC. He had a lot of mental lapses in this game. There was one that specifically stuck out, I think, to end the third, I want to say, where he just completely like switched and didn't communicate, and then Korkmaz got a wide open three. And then, you know, they just kind of got that run going for Philadelphia. And there was a couple times where, like, I don't know what Kenny was thinking, trying to put TLC on Ben Simmons. He doesn't have the size or the strength to match up with him. So it was just weird that he was getting so many minutes, and he was playing in that fourth quarter. And I just felt like there wasn't a need to play him in the fourth quarter when you have so many other options. No disrespect to TLC. I just don't think he's at that point in his career.
Yeah, and, you know, he is still a two-way player. You know, he's probably at best a 10th, 11th man. And, you know, he's been playing okay. This was probably one of his poorer performances. He did have a nice little play, you know, in transition and in the finish. But, yeah, you're not going to win a game, Nick. And this is via Pooch, the one and only. The Nets went the final 4 minutes of 55 without a field goal.
Yeah, you just can't do that. And I feel like, you know, give credit to Philadelphia for disrupting things and making things a little bit more physical. You know, the refs were giving them a lot of calls earlier in this game, but the fourth, they kind of let them play. And the Nets didn't react well to that, and we've seen that happen in the past too.
Yeah, it's not going to win you games, Nick. And obviously, we know how good the Sixers are defensively, but there were just times where the sets were just getting clogged down. You know, the Spencer Dinwiddie where you just dribble. You know, it seems to me that there's just a lack of cohesion. Not all the time, but just in this game. We're obviously just recapping this one. So it wasn't our night, but it certainly could have been. I thought we played, you know, three good quarters and one horrific quarter.
Yeah, I think you mentioned at the end of the game, it's like the Nets just stopped doing what they're doing the entire game, or certain things that worked. It's like they don't go back to them, and they just try to force things that aren't working. Like, I thought at different points in this game, they did a great job trying to switch defenders and get the weaker guy on, especially like Spencer and Kyrie, so they could attack. And at the end of the game, they just tried to attack Ben Simmons and Thibault and even Richardson, like try to get a matchup against Tobias Harris or Al Horford on ISO, and then you have a lot better chance of scoring.
Yeah, I don't think sometimes the Nets aren't playing clever basketball. Yeah. And I think that you can see that a lot of the time where, like, Kyrie is instructing where for guys to get on the floor and, you know, Spencer likewise, and people pick out clips that sort of show him showing a lack of leadership. But I would prefer him instructing guys because, you know, Kenny can only do so much from the bench. Sometimes the Nets play silly basketball, and, you know, you can't play silly basketball against a team that's, you know, obviously been struggling a little bit of late, but, you know, they're one of the best home teams in the NBA, 19-2 at home. The Nets certainly could have made them 18-3 with tonight's game, but, you know, you're not going to, again, not scoring a field goal in the final 5 minutes of a game. The Sixers did lock down, but I thought it was on both ends of the floor where the Nets weren't just able to get into any sets, and that was on them. Kyrie Irving couldn't necessarily do his, you know, fourth quarter ISO sort of style. You know, Kyrie wasn't certainly there tonight. National TV Kyrie, all the different nicknames you want to give him. But yeah, for me tonight, if it wasn't for Spencer, you know, Jared Allen I thought was massive. I thought he could have played, you know, even more, but you know, not enough to contributors in a game where the Nets probably had a chance.
I really like the point you brought up about the Nets just playing silly sometimes. And it's like the ceiling and the floor is so crazy for this team because they have flashes or quarters where you see, you know, Spencer, Karras, and Kyrie out there, and you got Joe Harris or Torian Prince hitting threes or Jared Allen throw down blocks and dunks and whatever it may be. But on the other end, then you have times where it feels like this is the first time these guys have stepped on the court together and they can't even just communicate on a switch, or offensively, they just look so distraught. Next thing you know, you wasted 15 seconds of the shot clock.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous at times. And, you know, every possession matters, especially yep. against a quality team, and especially in the fourth quarter, and especially in clutch time, the final sort of 5 minutes. And that's where you need to really step up. But, you know, at this point in stage, the Nets are an average team. We know that, you know, they're close to 500, but they're slowly slipping away from that even. So hopefully, I mean, it's not going to get any easier when we come against the Milwaukee Bucks, but we've at least shown potential enough to compete with the better teams. We just lack the class and the polish to really finish it off.
And I think the mental focus. I think you mentioned, you know, every possession counts and you have to be engaged the whole time. There's just so many possessions where it feels like the Nets aren't into the game. You know, defensively, offensively, whatever it may be, it's like ball watching. And then defensively, they ball watch too, where it's just like everyone stands around and all of a sudden, you know, a Philadelphia 76er came in and got an offensive rebound. And they didn't kill the Nets on the boards, but it just felt like they got so many timely rebounds in this game.
Yeah, it's important times. And, you know, letting Korkmaz get a board off his free throw miss. And, you know, I thought overall the battle on the boards wasn't too, you know, obviously it was 44 to 49. But, you know, the timing of it, I think you make it is a pretty pertinent point there, Nick. But
ever seen an Untuck button down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuckit, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuckit shirts always fit at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages, myself included. Being 6'3", it's extremely difficult to find shirts that fit right. Untuckit makes it easy. They also have a ton of styles to choose from, wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuckit shirts, you'll never look baggy, too long, or too big again. And their website's easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit Untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's Untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
How much do you think the DeAndre Jordan injury affected the flow of the game? And I mean, overall, Jared Allen, I just thought was sensational.
Yeah, Jared Allen was awesome. But I do think if there's a matchup DeAndre could have an impact in, it's against the Sixers, you know, one of the biggest teams in the NBA. And then losing him kind of messed with rotations. And then also I felt like in terms of the second unit, he did a nice job in the first half of kind of hitting some guys on those cuts, which isn't always the most important thing, but it just adds a little bit to the offense. So I think they did miss him. Not to say that I thought DeAndre was really good in this game, but just being out of the rotation, having to play Wilson Chandler and just kind of change things up for the entire team.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, these are the sort of things you want to see your guys step up in these performances. And tonight, there weren't enough capable guys to step up. But Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, we spoke about, and I think it's been spoken about by every single media sports organization about the chemistry between him and Kyrie Irving. I know I saw a stat today that showed they have a net rating of plus 14.4 when on the court together this season. I thought today they showed elements of chemistry, you know, playing off the ball a little bit. At times, Spencer hit some threes, 3 of 8 from three. I thought that was probably one of his better performances from the perimeter. Now, our free throw shooting was, you know, pretty disgusting. But then again, so was the Sixers. So it sort of cancels each other out a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, Spencer was our best player. And he certainly wasn't the reason why we struggled.
Yeah, and I think free throw shooting, even though the Sixers and Nets shot pretty similar, the Sixers have guys you don't expect to make free throws, like Ben Simmons, but you know Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, like these are guys that we expect to shoot a higher percentage at the line. And getting to Kyrie a little bit, it wasn't like he played terrible. I think he just missed a lot of shots that he made the last two games. And I don't know if it was like this is the game that looked like he was rusty or whatever it was. He just didn't have the touch tonight.
And I mean, Kyrie Irving, a guy who's like 90% of his career even missed a free throw at a time where just, you know, it just didn't affect him. You know, there was Wilson Chandler hit both of his free throws. You know, Caris LeVert, you know, we said at the start of the season, his player preview, that that's an area we wanted him to sort of step up in. His game was fine, but I thought that, you know, he can be so much better defensively. He sort of suffers from a lot of the symptoms that we've spoken about in terms of his game and lapses and just the lack of sort of cohesion and engagement. But, you know, this game was there for the taking, and we just didn't have enough guys who maybe, I think they wanted it enough, but just were able to execute well enough.
Yeah, one thing I did like from Karras this game and over the last couple games is his cutting. I want him to keep seeing that from him. It's just an easy way for him to get buckets and get to the rim. It was kind of weird to see him only play 22 minutes.
Well, he played 22 minutes in the last game against Utah as well. So
interesting.
I think that it's obviously, maybe it's an injury management thing, but I don't think he deserved to be playing extended minutes. Probably above Joe Harris. I mean, if in all honesty, Rodion should have been playing more minutes, Chandler should have been playing more minutes. It seems to me that Coach Kenny gets bogged down sometimes and again, rigid, I say it probably the key word when it comes to Kenny in terms of his rotations. I know you've had some discussion with different guys on Twitter about, you know, Coach Kenny hasn't found the certain rotations and lineups that he's liked just yet. But I think what you need to do is, who's performing well on the night? Well, Joe Harris wasn't, so maybe put in Wilson Chandler out there. We'll give Brody on scores to go. The fact that he didn't see any time in the first quarter was a little bit shocking to me. I thought I was, you know, about to start a riot from here in Melbourne, Australia, because he has been one of the Nets' most consistent performers over this sort of 7-8-game stretch, despite the ups and downs. So I think Kenny needs to be a bit more instinctual and read the flow of the game a little bit better, rather than sort of, we know he's very analytics driven and, you know, he plays a certain style and we know his philosophy, but sometimes you just need to go with the flow, Kenny.
Yeah, I think some of the adjustments just weren't there tonight. And then also you have to remember Garrett Temple didn't play again. Rotation's going to probably get even weirder the next game if he's back.
Yeah, you would expect it to be. You know, I would, In my honest opinion, I would take TLC out, and that would probably be the rotation. And then with your bench, just other than Karras Levert, who should be playing near starter minutes, and you know, you look at the role players, Prince, Harris, you know, you read the flow of the game. Who's hitting their shots? Who's playing defense? And then, you know, you give guys different goes and you see how things are heading into the fourth. You've got the body of work in the three or the four quarters. Then you go, all right, this is the lineup that has worked so far. I'm going to roll with it. And if it doesn't work, you have guys where you can change things up a little bit. You're going to have Jared Allen out there. You're going to have Kyrie out there. You're going to have Spencer out there. And you're going to have at least one of Taurean or Joe Harris out there, depending on, you know, the performance. But Joe Harris can be defensively sometimes a liability, offensively sometimes, depending on how good the defense is from another team. And against the Bucks, the Bucks coming up, the Jazz, the Sixers, these sort of teams who have good physicality and good size about them, Joe can really struggle. I might be the biggest Joe Harris stan on this planet Earth, but that doesn't immune him from any criticism that he does deserve where he doesn't perform to a level that we require of him. So for me, there needs to be adjustments on the fly, Nick, and good coaches do that.
And I think Kenny needs to realize his roster is different than it was the last 2 months and different from last season, where he has a lot of different pieces where he can play different styles of basketball with the talent he has. So I think it's just kind of getting a little bit creative out there and seeing how things go. And I think sometimes, like, Kenny also needs to be willing to just mess with the rotation. Hey, Philadelphia starters are not a great matchup for Joe Harris. Sub him early, bring him back in against the bench and let him kind of feast on them. I think it's just finding ways for your players to have their best showings out there.
Yeah, and at that point, that's the coach's job, you know, to be able to find the chemistry and the lineups that will work best to execute and to find the right synergy and flow on both ends of the floor. But yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, Nick, but not surprising. I think that if the Nets had have hung in a little bit better in the fourth quarter, I thought that they would have been with a better shot. But, you know, not hitting, you know, clutch shots and timely free throws and these sort of things, it's the reason why we lost.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, the fourth quarter they had their lapses, but I felt like throughout three quarters, as good as they played, there was times where they could have capitalized more. It felt like even the first quarter, it felt like the Nets played really well, and they were only, I think, up like two or three at that point. And it was just like, that's tough. Like, you didn't capitalize in that quarter from Philadelphia. I think they started the game like 0-7 from three. And it's just like, when you don't capitalize on certain moments in the game, you just always feel like it's going to come back to bite you when you're not an elite team.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have hated at times to see the zone thrown out there, because we know how well it worked against the Sixers last time we faced them. because they don't really have 3-point shooters outside of Korkmaz, essentially. So I wouldn't have hated to see those different sort of looks. But I think today, in terms of the communication, the defensive end, it probably could have fallen apart as well. So, I mean, I'm throwing things out there because hindsight is 20/20. But at the end of the day, the Sixers deserve to win this. They closed it out. They played well when it mattered. The Nets didn't enough. They did at certain times. But when it really did matter, the Sixers, you know, showed their experience, showed their cohesion, and showed their talent.
And made the clutch plays, and that's what really matters. Like, you know, you're going to be in plenty of games you don't deserve to win, and then you play a good fourth quarter, and you're going to steal a W. We've seen the Nets do it in the past. Sixers did that tonight, and I think a little bit goes into the Nets on the second night of back-to-back. Specifically, I think it probably impacted Kyrie the most because he hasn't played basketball in so long. So, you know, you can throw that factor in, but there was still an opportunity there.
There certainly was, and Kyrie was the one we spoke about on previous episodes. He said it immediately, I'm good to go, I'm good to go. So there's no excuses when you're out there. I didn't see necessarily any rust in terms of his shot. You know, when he was shooting the three, it actually probably looked better than it has in previous performances. When he did fall down, driving sometimes, it did cringe a little bit. But, you know, hopefully a couple of days rest and we get a really big bounce back performance from Kyrie Irving, because, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert, I think when we have two of those three guys firing, the Nets are going to be hard to stop. And, you know, at least one guy at an average. But if it's just one of them, you can't have one of your three best players playing well. So, I mean, if you go to the 76ers, you know, you have at least three starters playing really well. Tobias Harris was great. Ben Simmons was great. And, you know, Josh Richardson performed admirably too. That's why they won. You know, the Nets had Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen play well in their starters. Torian Prince was good in moments, but I thought was still kind of inconsistent. At least he was hitting
those
three
four
balls.
Turnovers.
And at least, yeah, that's essentially stands out for a guy who doesn't have the usage rate and the ball in his hands enough to warrant four turnovers next to his name.
Yeah, I feel like at times over just the last few games, like Torian and Joe have tried to do too much where they don't necessarily need to anymore because, hey, Spencer's out there with you, Kyrie's out there with you, you're not going to hit this shot, no big deal, pass it out. We still have 10 seconds on the shot clock to run something.
Yeah, I think that they get stuck in a mentality, or they, you know,
they're used to it. I mean, it's been 2 months where they've had to do it.
Yeah, and also I think neither of them are great passers off the drive. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe Harris is a really good sort of sneaky passer down low, but in terms of like a kick out pass,
yep,
he's not Kyrie, Karras, or Spencer in that regard. So I think some of it is on guys getting into the right spots, but it's also on Torian Prince and Joe Harris knowing their limitations.
Yeah, and we've kind of talked about it in the past. It wouldn't be the worst thing ever to separate those two in terms of spacing. It's not like they can never play minutes together, but I think it might be something for Kenny to look at. And we keep talking about the three best players in the Nets. I think Kenny needs to find a way to get these guys to in the groove together, and so they can play more minutes together, whatever it may be, what he has to do to adjustment or whoever he puts with them. I think you want to see them get minutes together on the floor and see how that experiment's going, because at the end of the day, you're putting the most pressure on the defense when you have your three best players out there.
You know, I wouldn't hate Karras starting and Joe Harris going to the bench, or Torian Prince going to the bench and then staggering the minutes. You got to have your best players out there. You need to find a way to make it work with your best players. I mean, the Sixers have certainly had their troubles with that with Embiid and Simmons, but still they are a plus team with both of those guys out there because their talents are just so overwhelming. So for me, Coach Kenny needs to start, continue experimenting, continue to find the ways to play winning basketball for this team. But the team, the players also really need to execute.
Yeah, and they need to be consistent throughout the game, especially in that fourth quarter. But Jack, anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here?
I think we might see Nicholas Claxton back, Nick, if that finger injury from DeAndre Jordan is like a dislocation or something, could be out for an extended period. So we might see the return of the Rook.
Yeah, I'd like to see Claxton out there. It'd be interesting because I know he's been shooting a little bit more from deep in the G League. Would be a nice add for that bench. But as always, fun talking Nets with you, Jack, even though it's a loss. And big thanks to everybody for listening to the show. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, and Blue Wire Pods.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.